They say, you gotta see it to believe it. And people often think that if they're able to see and verify something for themselves, that they can rely on that information. But studies show that eyewitness testimony is really unreliable. There are all kinds of reasons for this. One is that if something dramatic happens, like witnessing violence, or you see something crazy like a UFO, there's probably a lot of stress flooding your body and your mind, and that can affect what we think that we see. Also, we are humans, and not all of us see all that well, so maybe you don't see it quite right. And in addition to that, our brains do funny little things, kind of like what they did in this telephone game for the children's sermon, right? When you have a blank spot, your brain tries to fill it in. So it manufactures information to make something make sense, which further complicates things because your brain might be just filling in blanks that didn't really occur. So the saying, you have to see it to believe it, is not necessarily true. Maybe a better way to express it is you need to experience it multiple times and do research and ask questions and verify facts to believe it. But that's really not quite as catchy. The truth is, we can't believe everything we see, and we definitely cannot believe everything we think. Peter, James, and John saw something incredible, something terrifying, and something really exciting on top of the mountain on the day of Jesus' transfiguration. And their eyewitness testimony was so sketchy that Jesus told them to keep it quiet. In the Gospel of Mark in particular, we see this come up a lot, where Jesus says, don't tell anybody. Like, Jesus does something really amazing, and the first thing you want to do is go tell somebody, but he says, don't say a word. This is often referred to as the messianic secret, and there are a lot of explanations about it. Some say it was Jesus told folks to be quiet because he wanted to extend his ministry, and he knew that if people found out about him, he would be murdered sooner. Some propose that Jesus and his disciples did not realize that he was the Messiah until after the resurrection, and so people kind of went back into the story to kind of make that make sense, and so they said, oh, it was a secret. Some posit that he was trying to do some reverse psychology, because what better way for people to spill the tea than to tell them they can't, right? Don't tell anyone. Immediately. But this morning's example, I think, is different from all of that. Transfiguration Sunday, as we just read, is this account of Jesus going on a hike with Peter, James, and John. And then when they get to the top, transforming into a glowing version of himself, flanked by the juggernauts of the faith, Moses and Elijah. And after seeing this incredible and miraculous event, Jesus' friends were terrified and had like an immediate flood of stress, excitement, ideas that didn't necessarily seem like the right way to go. And the voice of God cut through that confusion and fear and repeated what had been asserted at Jesus' baptism. This is my son, the beloved. But also added this time, listen to him. As they walked down the mountain, Jesus reiterated the message of the messianic secret. Don't tell anyone about this. I propose that the reason that Jesus told them not to tell anybody about what happened at the top of that mountain that day is because you cannot believe everything that you think you see. I think Jesus knew that these guys were spinning out in their minds. They'd already wanted to create some kind of habitation for Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. They had seen the one they were following glowing. They must have been so excited. They had so many ideas, so full of hope and the power of it all. They wanted to tell what they had seen and conquer everything. But they were not ready to share because they had no idea what the good news of Jesus Christ meant. They told their story then, it would be some conquering deity, and they would get it wrong. We have the luxury of reading all of this more than 2 millennia after the fact, and we know the rest of the story. Peter, James, and John had no clue what was going to happen next. They didn't understand what the message of Jesus truly meant for the world. All they knew was the fear, excitement, and elation of that moment. that was not what God wanted them to know. God told them, "This is my son. Listen to him." You have to learn. You have to pay attention. The Transfiguration was a wake-up call. It was like one of those billboards that's really flashy that has like a TV screen on it. It was like a tornado siren. It was like Emerson screaming for somebody to, "Please, look at me." An indication to take heed, because what happens next is going to be vitally important. So it's perfect timing then, church, that this, on this high point, before we go low, low, low for Lent, is reminding us, listen. After these last words, listen, do not talk. Do not try to make sense of things. Repent. Remember your mortality. Remember your fragility. Listen. I love the work that our Sunday school class has been doing with the self-knowledge of the Enneagram. And this last week, Leah was talking about how in our culture, so often we hear things like, "That's just the way I am. If you don't like it, you can leave. Like, sorry, you know, just take me or leave me." And that might sometimes be necessary, but if we really look at it, that's a very un-Christian way of thinking. Because it's a way of thinking that doesn't take into account the transformative work of Christ. Yes, we need to accept and receive each other as we are, but we also need to remember that in the work of community is this incredible sharpening of one another, incredible ability that we have to move and work and become more in the likeness of Christ. Instead, when those closest to us reflect something to us, when we learn something about ourselves, when we make the same mistake over and over and over again, anyone else do that too? We can listen. Listen to our lives. Listen to those around us in community. Listen to God's voice. And learn and allow God's Spirit to transform and transfigure our hearts into a better likeness of Christ. We cannot do that if we talk first, think later, and listen last. We cannot do that if we shut others out and double down on our own brokenness, saying, "Sorry, this is just the way that I am." We cannot do that if we fill up our lives with so much noise and so much distraction that we believe everything that we think. We need quiet. We need to find alone time with God. We need to repent of our sin for our hearts to align with what God made us to be. The Transfiguration and the messianic secret that follows is for us this morning a reminder that we do not know as much as we think we do. And that is our call for Lent this year. To remember that we first need to listen. Not act first, then getting it all messed up. We do not need to keep running from ourselves, from our sin, from our fantasies. We need to be faced with the power of God and be reminded of who Christ is, Redeemer, Savior. So trust the one who formed you from the start. Animates you and loves you and knows you, and then spend some time.